Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the third juz of the Quran, the end of Surah Al-Baqarah and the beginning of Surah Ali Imran. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we have learned so far about, or we have discussed or reminisced so far about, what should the behavior of a believer be to contradict or to stay away from the wrong behavior of previous nations, particularly the one described in Surah Al-Baqarah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the behavior of Bani Israel. In the part that we're going to be discussing tonight are some of the very beautiful ayat of the Quran. And again, all of the ayat of the Quran are beautiful. Some of them have more significance than others in the minds of many people. Among these ayat is one that's often recited and memorized, which is Ayat al-Kursi. And in Ayat al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, la ta'khuduhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fi al-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, man dal ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi-idhnih, يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Many scholars of the Quran consider that this is the greatest ayah of the Quran, and they consider it the heart of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than once emphasized the value and the importance of this ayah. On some occasions when the companions heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most glorious name, which is the one that if he subhanahu wa ta'ala is asked with or invoked with, he subhanahu wa ta'ala would respond or accept the supplication. And when the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala ismillahi al-a'zam, the greatest of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, seek it in Surah Al-Baqarah and in Surah Ali Imran. Search for it in these two surah. And the scholar said, we found that the common name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was mentioned in these two surah is Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as al-hayy, the ever-living subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-qayyum, the one who takes care of everything that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has under his control and is responsible for, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as la ta'khuduhu sinatun wa la nawm. He does not doze off. He does not feel sleepy, nor does he subhanahu wa ta'ala fall into slumber or deep sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these beautiful attributes of his so that we would recognize and we would feel comfortable. Why are we worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any partners or any associates? In this part of the surah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the journey of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, Khalilur Rahman, the one who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this very high level of friendship and close friendship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about part of the journey of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, who really had deep faith in his heart. And Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam traveled to the east and to the west. And wherever he went, he spread faith, he spread the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one incident, which is the one described in the following ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about his discussion with An-Namrud, this tyrant king who claimed to have all the powers that he needs. And this is a trait of all the tyrants. This is basically the same thing that Fir'aun claimed during the time of Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the tyrants of Quraysh claimed to have during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this case, Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam comes with logical explanations why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to be worshipped, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet, my Lord is the one who revives and the one who causes death. So this tyrant, ignorant tyrant, said, "Ana uhyi wa umit." I can do that as well. And basically, he killed someone and released someone who was destined to be executed, claiming that here I can do the same thing, I have the same powers. And Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam challenged him in a very conclusive and comprehensive way by saying, "Inna Allah ya'ti bishamsi min al-mashriq, fa'ati biha min al-maghrib." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes and authorizes the sun to rise every day from the east. Let's see if you can cause it to rise from the west. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments on that, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. This tyrant found that he has no answer for this logic of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Ibrahim, who had the full faith in his heart, he enjoyed seeing the signs of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let him enjoy the sight of reviving the dead. Sayyidina Ibrahim, during his time, he found a whale that was brought to a dead whale who was brought to the shore of a certain body of water. And the waves would push this whale inland and then take it out of land. So it was on the border between earth and sea. And whenever it was dragged inland, the birds would drop and eat from the carcass of that whale. And whatever it was brought back to the sea, the fish would eat from the blubber of that whale. So Sayyidina Ibrahim started wondering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be able to recollect this whale from the fish and from the birds and from the other animals that have been eating from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this great power. I would love to see this happening in front of my eyes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, "Haven't you attained faith?" He said, "Indeed I have. However, I enjoy seeing the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, as we read in the ayat, to take these four birds and to cut them into pieces and to put them on different mountains and different locations, and then to call them with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would come back flying alive to him. And when he saw that, he said, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is telling us about the story of another prophet, Sayyidina Uzair ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, who again one day passed by a land that was completely dead. And he said, how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive this after its death? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to die for 100 years, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrected him and told him, look at your donkey that you were riding, how its dead, decomposed body is going to be revived again. Look at your food that you left 100 years ago, how it's going to become fresh again. And when he saw all of these powers, he said, I recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ultimate and the complete and extreme power, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is telling us about the value of expenditure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this money is not ours. Remember again that money was one of the big trials of Bani Israel, and they failed miserably in that test several times due to claiming that this money is ours and we're not going to spend it for any other cause but our own interests. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would call his companions to donate for any cause for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would criticize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mock him and say, look at the Lord of Muhammad, the God of Muhammad is poor, so Muhammad is calling for donations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to this ugly saying of theirs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is faqir wa nahnu aghniya. They claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is poor while they are rich, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in whose hands is the control of all the fortunes and all the riches of everything that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who spend their money, day and night for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to support the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in beneficial, for beneficial reasons. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to use that money, which is actually a trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. The money does not belong to us. The money, we got it somehow and we're going to spend it somehow. So it transitions through our hands. It is not our property. It's only through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have acquired this money. Therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and invites us to spend it in a way that He subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of, we should rush to doing that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those believers who spend their money for the causes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, like a garden that was irrigated through rain and it started flourishing and its plants started growing. And were it not for that rain, which is this charity that people are spending in the causes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would have been a very limited growth of that garden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives a very beautiful example in the ayat by the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the example starts in a very strange way. أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ Would one of you love to have gardens of grapes and dates and all the kinds of fruits and water running through it, through rivers running through it? So when someone listens to that, they would say, of course I would love to have that. Yes, who wouldn't? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us, وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرِ And then this person grew old, وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءٌ And that person has a weak offspring that cannot take care of that garden. So when the garden was in its peak, with all of these fruits and vegetables and beauty and water, and the person grew old, he cannot take care of it anymore, and his children are too young and too weak to take care of it, فأصابها إعصار فيه نار فاحترقت. A storm came with fire and it burned that garden. So now what was the value of that garden? The value collapsed and disappeared overnight. And this is an example, a very beautiful example, metaphorical example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us about those who do what appears to be good deeds, whereas their intention is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the eyes of people, it would be a very good deed and it starts growing and their esteem and respect starts growing in the eyes of people. And then when this person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, expecting to receive reward for, again, what appeared to people to be good deeds, but they were not sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he finds that the fire has eaten all of that and he doesn't have anything left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers about, again, the value of that money, because many people fail in that test through usury, riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَدَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى O you who believe, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and abandon any sign or any trace of riba. And if you don't, فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ If you do not abstain from using this usury, this unjustified increase in money without any effort of yours, without any risk to you, then beware of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjat al-Wada', when he was addressing the largest congregation of companions in his time, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put down or cancelled any kind of usury, any kind of lending with an increase, what people call today interest. And this is a misnomer for that act of usury. They call it interest, which is something that's appealing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put that all down and he started by saying, وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ دَيْنٍ أَضَعُهُ دَيْنَ الْعَبَّاسِ That the first practice of such a bad behavior that I'm putting down and I'm canceling is the one that was done by my uncle Al-Abbas, who used to lend people for an increase in money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam canceled all of this practice, supposedly forever. For us, it's up to us to follow that guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we come to the longest ayah in the Quran, and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about the tests that we might fail when it comes to money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the longest ayah in the Quran, which is the ayah of debt. Prior to that ayah, by the way, the ayah immediately before this ayah is one of the most alarming ayat in the Quran, which is an ayah, if we do understand, we should always keep it on our minds. Remember what we mentioned before, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Bani Israel several times, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا, beware of a day, which is the day of judgment. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers, saying, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Now prepare for, beware of, be on guard of, be mindful of a day when you will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Many scholars of the Quran say that this is the last ayah, the last complete ayah to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this, the order of this ayah, the order of the revelation of this ayah was very close to the end of the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if the final reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his servants is, remember that day, because this day will be coming. The following ayah is again the longest ayah in the Quran, which is talking about debt and the details of the debt, how it should be written, how it should be witnessed, what are the conditions of these witnesses, and how the witnesses should not be intimidated, and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the ayah by وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Again, the aspect of taqwa, we find it at the very beginning of the surah, Surah Al-Baqarah. We find it very close to the end of the surah, and we find it intermittently in different locations in the surah. So this is one of the main themes of Surah Al-Baqarah, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the end of the surah, of course, we know the ayah that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again to distinguish his companions and to show that they're going to contradict the behavior of Bani Israel, which was the main subject of the whole surah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong everything in the heavens and the earth. And whatever you hide in your chests or you declare, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable for. And when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this ayah, they were horrified. And many of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that some of us would think about improper things, but we would not follow that with an action. Are we still going to be held accountable? This is going to be so horrifying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, what are you going to say? Now, Bani Israel, when they were given commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was their response? سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. We have heard and we have disobeyed. So what are you going to say? And the companions said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We have heard and we have obeyed. And immediately once they showed that positive behavior, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the relief in the following ayat, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising those believers who, again, although they were scared, that did not prevent them from submitting to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the relief. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold any soul accountable for anything beyond its capacity, its maximum capacity. And people are not going to be held accountable for what they think and they do not act upon. So the accountability is going to be pending the action. If you do not act, you will not be held accountable for that. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many scholars of tafsir also mentioned that these last few ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah are a treasure of the treasures of the Quran. So everyone should memorize them and everyone should recite them every now and then or quite often to remember the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His creation. Surah Ali Imran, again, is another of the long surah of the Quran. Who is Ali Imran, or who are Ali Imran? The Al means the family of Imran. Who is the family of Imran, and what is the significance of that name? The significance comes some of the ayat of the surah. إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. So آل عمران, Imran was the father of Sayyida Maryam عليه السلام, the mother of Sayyidina Isa على نبينا وعليه الصلاة والسلام. This was a family of faith. The whole family was a family of faithful and obedient servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the close-knit family and the extended family as well. So we find a Sayyida Maryam alayha salam, her son, of course, Sayyidina Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Her father is Imran. Her mother, who pledged to donate or to pledge her child, unborn child at that time, who she didn't know the gender of that child. She pledged that that child is going to be a servant of the temple. Who was the caretaker of the temple? The brother-in-law of the mother of Sayyida Maryam ala nabina alayhi salam, who was Sayyidina Zakariya ala nabina alayhi salatu wassalam. Sayyidina Zakariya is the father of Sayyidina Yahya ala nabina alayhi salatu wassalam. So all of this blessed family is the family of Imran. What do they have in common? This is again a family of faith, a family of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a family of supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of the most beautiful supplications, a family of devotion to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the service of the temple. When Sayyidina Zakariya ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, as we mentioned before, when he grew old and he did not have a child, he was afraid, who's going to take care of the temple? Who's going to take care of maintaining the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ دُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. Oh Allah, grant me a good offspring. You are the one who listens to the supplication. So we find in Surah Ali Imran, again, a lot of ayat that are talking about secret and very emotional supplication between a servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only in the case of Sayyidina Zakariya ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, not only in the case of the mother of Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam, not only in the case of Sayyida Maryam herself alayhi salam, but also in the case of many of the believers, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Later on, when the surah talks about detailed events, especially of the Battle of Uhud, and what ran through the hearts and the minds of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the different parts of the day, during the first part of the day when they were victorious, during the latter part of the day when they faced a partial defeat, and many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up to 70 of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were martyred on that day, led by the great and beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hamza radiyallahu anhu. So this surah in general is talking about a lot of emotions, a lot of internal feelings, whether they were manifested or declared or whether they were kept inside. Sayyidina Zakariya ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam, and his story comes again in Surah Maryam later on in another part of the detail. But Sayyidina Zakariya ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not objecting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has grown old and his wife also has grown old and barren. She's never been able to bear a child in her life, and he sort of lost any hope. Yet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is always hope. So it shows one of the beautiful characters of Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, which is this continuous hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, and this is something very interesting, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us how to make dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructs us, ادعوا الله وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you what you're asking for. Because if you think that it's not going to happen, the dua is not going to be as strong and not as sincere. But having the full confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can cause anything to happen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant this supplication, then this is one of the reasons for the response to the supplication. Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he kept asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many years, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah innaka sami'u du'a, oh Allah, grant me this good offspring. When the angels came to Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam to give him the good news, he couldn't believe himself. Now that I'm so old and my wife is so old, how is it going to happen? And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a sign. His heart was full of gratitude and happiness. He didn't want to believe himself. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a proof. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, the proof is for the next 3 days, you will not be able to say anything except the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you try to talk to people, you will not be able to talk to them. But when you try to make a prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to bless, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your prayers, you will be able to speak. And again, he saw that for the next 3 days, he could not speak to people the regular speech. Only the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came out of his mouth. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I have a son after all of these years? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him the response, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever he subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So you know this power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feel the gratitude, live the gratitude. Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam had this hope for that son to maintain worship in the temple. After he saw the signs of piety of Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam, when he used to come to her in the temple, in seclusion in the temple, and he would find fruits out of season and food out of season in front of her, and he asked her, how, where from, who? He used the word Anna laki hada ya Maryam, and the word Anna is a very comprehensive word. It means where from, how, when, who, and so on. Who brought this to you? When did they bring it to you? How did they get it? And so on. Anna laki hada ya Maryam. And the response was, huwa min indillah. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is at that time that hope was revived in his heart that maybe it's not late after all to keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a son. And that's when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his supplication. Another ethic of the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us about, which is inna allaha yastajibu li ahadikum, the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna allaha yastajibu li ahadikum ma lam yad'u bi ithmin aw qati'ati rahim wa ma lam yasta'jil. Qalu wa ma al-istijal ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قال أن يقول دعوت ودعوت فلم يستجب لي ويذر الدعاء أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept and respond to one of you when he or she would supplicate, as long as they are not asking for something that's unlawful or something that can result in cutting the ties of kinship, and as long as they do not rush Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the companions asked, what is rushing, Ya Rasulullah? He said, he would say, I have asked and asked and asked and I've not seen a result. So they would abandon their supplication. This is rushing. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the supplication at the time that he subhanahu wa ta'ala decides is best for that servant. And as the scholars of yani Quran say that dua is a qadr, it's a destiny from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever happens to an individual is a qadr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's illness, whether it's death, whether it's poverty, anything that a person might perceive negatively affects them is a qadr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only dua can stop that qadr. So we confront the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who authorizes us and enables us to make this dua to stop any hardship or any calamity from happening. So that's why dua is a very strong weapon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every one of his servants. And not only, by the way, not only the believers, but even for the non-believers, if they are oppressed. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the meaning of the hadith, ittaqi da'wat al-zalim. Beware of the supplication, ittaqi da'wat al-madloom, I'm sorry, ittaqi da'wat al-madloom. Beware of the supplication of the oppressed. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. There's no barrier between the supplication of the oppressed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any impediments, without any obstacles. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, I will give you support even after some time. So the speed of the response to the supplication, this is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be patient, we should be grateful, and we should never cease to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the beautiful ayat that come in this juz, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. This is a very beautiful ayah. Say, declare, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and telling us also, proclaim, Allahumma malik al-mulk. Proclaim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of all the dominion, subhanahu wa ta'ala. تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء. You give power to whomever you want and you take away power from whomever you want. وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء. You elevate whomever you want and you put down and humiliate whomever you want. So here we find a word and its contrary, its opposite. تؤتي الملك تنزع الملك تعز تذل. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the ayah with بيدك الخير. Someone might say, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in your hands is the good. What about the evil? Anything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. Everything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. Even, someone might say, even sickness and illness and pandemics and disasters and hurricanes and earthquakes and fires and this and that. Yes, everything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. And look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that confirms that same meaning. But this applies only to a believer who would see that wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and would see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that happens to them. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the meaning of the hadith, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. I'm amazed by the affairs of a believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ لَخَيْرٌ. Everything that happens to a believer is good. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرٌ. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرٌ. If they are affected by something good, they would show gratitude and they would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And that's good for them. They are going to be rewarded for them. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرٌ. And if they are inflicted by a hardship or a calamity, they would endure patience. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That's also good for them and they're going to be rewarded for that as well. So in good or in bad, they're going to be grateful or patient, and in both cases, they're going to be rewarded for that. So, if someone has a fever, they would feel that, oh, this fever is bad. No, it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and if you endure patience, you'll be rewarded for that. The loss of family, the loss of children, the loss of wealth, the loss of health. And we have seen, or we're going to talk later on, inshallah, about the story of Sayyidina Ayyub, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, that exemplifies all of these different meanings. When we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of all of the creation, the best creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, it was not an easy life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, within a few days, lost his uncle that was supporting him and defending him, Abu Talib, and lost his wife, his beloved wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Within a few years later, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lost his uncle Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu in the Battle of Uhud that we're going to talk about tomorrow, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lost all of his children during his life, with the exception of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. All of his children, females and males, they passed away. The males died in their infancy, the females died in their adulthood, and only Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha survived the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and even she passed away within less than 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that كان يمر علينا الهلال ثم الهلال ثم الهلال ثلاثة أهلة في شهرين. The new moon would come, and then another new moon, and another new moon, a third new moon. So three new moons in 2 months, and there would be no fire lit in any of the houses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means they wouldn't cook anything using fire. So someone asked, then what was your sustenance? What did you eat for these 2 months? She said, al-aswadan, at-tamr wal-ma', the two black ones, water, and even water at that time was not clear water and clean water as we are drinking it right now, but it was water that is mixed with mud and dust and other things, so it was not clear. What tamr? This was the other sustenance, dates. And that's the household, or these are the households of the best of the creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that this gratitude and this patience, these two wings through which a person should always be maintaining the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bayna shukr wa sabr, between gratitude and patience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under any condition, and to endure patience when we are tested with a hardship under any conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're going to conclude with this ayah inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to a scene from the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ, when every soul would come to the Day of Judgment, وَيَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا, the good that this soul has done during its life, it's going to find it in front of it. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا, and whatever bad it had committed, which is also going to see on the Day of Judgment, it would wish, any soul, any individual would wish that there was a large gap between myself and the bad deeds that I have committed. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us and saying, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, so be on guard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, prepare for that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ. These two conclusions of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning you, because you will be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us hope in His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ra'ufun bil ibad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compassionate and merciful with His servants. Who are these servants? The ones, again, who would show gratitude in case of prosperity, and would show patience in case of adversity or calamity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those. And inshallah, tomorrow, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us, we are going to continue our journey with the Quran. We're going to talk about the ayat that were revealed primarily in the description of the events of the Battle of Uhud and the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his servants to hold tight under any conditions to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to go into factions but to unite and not to divide. So until tomorrow inshallah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.